15, and I have absolutely no idea really what I'm going to preach about. I'm just standing up here, amen, trusting God, amen. I went to a scripture, amen, and sometimes it's good to study old school. You need to study. You need to prepare, amen. But then there's sometimes, and the Holy Ghost just said, get up there, amen, and open your mouth, amen. And he knows, amen, what to speak through us, amen. After all, we are simply his instruments. We are simply his vessels, amen, his willing vessels. And, amen, we have to trust God, amen, to in everything that we do. But one of the things I want to bring out to your attention, I was thinking a little this morning, I was thinking about Moses and the children of Israel and how God had so miraculously moved in their lives and taking them out of Egypt, amen, and raising up a man of God such as Moses, amen, that would lead the children of Israel, amen, out of bondage, out of Pharaoh's grip. Amen, and how he would send them forth, amen, to the promised land, amen. And as I begin to think a little, amen, without reading too much in 14, one of the main, most powerful stories that we all can relate to is when Moses was at the sea, amen, and the children of Israel, their back were at the sea, and it seemed like they were going to die. It seemed like they were going to perish. It seemed like there was no escape. And those who would detract and speak evil of Moses and speak evil of God would say that God was a bad general, that Moses was a bad tactician, that you would lead your people to a place where this seemed like there was no escape. Where it seemed like there was certain death and destruction, where it seemed like there would be no help on the way, where it seemed like you would not have any way of escape. But look to your neighbor and say, God has a plan. Amen. And to the world or to your enemies, it seems like that you are against the wall. It seems like you are up against a place of no escape. But I'm here to let you know that sometimes God orchestrates those very events in our lives only to reveal and show his glory. Sometimes, amen, what seems crazy to the natural mind, what seems crazy to the world, amen, you got to sit back and you got to trust God and you got to say, you know what, even though it looks like my back is against the wall, even though it looks like there's no escape, even though it looks like I'm going under, even though it looks like I'm not going to rise up, but I want to let you know something, it's only what it looks like, amen, and furthermore, amen, I don't walk or live according to natural sight or natural understanding, but I walk by faith and not by sight. And we've got to remember and we've got to encourage ourselves, amen, because after all, we are in flesh, amen, and after all, we're subject, amen, to different things that may come against us. But I'm reminded of the word that we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall what? Be continually in my mouth. Amen. Now, that's not predicated based on if there's money in my pocket, if it looks like it's an escape, but I'm going to bless the Lord even when it seems like I'm in a deficit. Even when it seems like there is no escape, even when it seems like Pharaoh is about to overtake me, even when it seems like the doctor said it's a bad report, even when it seems like your money is dried up, even when it seems like the mortgage company and the bank and the loan company and the car, it's passed through and it seems like, but you know what? It only looks that way. That God sometimes, amen, he takes us to that, I hear you, Holy Ghost, to that place of testing. He takes us to that place and he says, are you going to trust me in the desert? Are you going to trust me when you're up against the sea? Are you going to trust me even though it looks like there is no answer? You say you love me. You say you trust me. You sing these songs. You clap your hands and you do all of this worship. But when the real test comes, when all of the church flipping and hopping, and it's all good, amen. But when it's all said and done, when you leave this place of assembly, and when you go into the world, and when you go back to your houses, and you know you got situations in your homes, when you go back to your jobs, and you know you got fights on your jobs, when you go back to this or to that, and you know you got to deal with issues, God is saying, now, are you going to trust me, even though it seemed like there's no way out? Are you going to walk by faith, or are you going to give up based on what you see? So I began to think about that on the way to church, and I began to think about how God does so much miraculous things. And early in the scriptures, we see how the Lord had given Moses a rod, and he had even given him a quick tutorial how to use his rod. Amen. That's why you got to pay attention. Amen. You need to get the lesson the first time. Amen. That way, when it's time to go to work, say, Lord, what'd you say? Lord, what'd you mean? No, you need to be paying attention. You need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In other words, look to your neighbor and say, listen, you need to pay attention. Because the instruction that is given is going to be what's needed for you to put in action. Amen. And God is going to give you everything that you need to pass the test. Amen. But you got to be a good student when the lesson's going forward. That when the test comes, amen, you say, you know what? I've done this. I've seen this. God has already given me the answer. He's already showed me, amen, how to get and pass and be successful in this situation in my life. And long story short, amen, what did Moses do? What did he do with the rod? He stretched it out over the sea, and the sea opened up. Now that is so amazing. But, you know, I begin to think about that, and I said, you know what God has given us today? He hasn't given us so much a physical rod or a physical stick, but you know what? He's given us the rod of our mouths. And you know what he did? Instead of saying, as Moses did, stretched out a little, but you know what? He tells us to speak the word, to declare the word, to lay out the rod of your mouth. Bible said death and life are in the what? The power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. You've got to learn, amen, to speak, amen, whatever it is that God has told you to speak, and not just speak for speaking's sake, just to hear a tone in your hearing, but you've got to believe what you say shall come to pass in alignment with God's word for your life. Mark 11:24 says, believe that you receive when ye pray. I didn't say it. That's what the word said. Amen. Believe that you receive when you pray. Amen. And when you speak and when you confess. Amen. When we know that we've got to trust God no matter what. Something else I was thinking, I was sharing with the wife. Amen. Something made me think about, we had a blessed time at the church the other week, amen, and some things I begin to think about, and I begin to think about faith. And has anybody, when you were little, ever played with magnets? Has anybody ever played with magnets? Is it, you know, and you know, basically, if you have two like magnets, they will repulse each other. You try to push them together, and they'll push. Now, if you get an opposite magnet, what will they do? Obviously, they will attract, amen. And I begin to think about our faith, that as children of God, amen, we ought to be walking daily a lifestyle of faith. It's just not something we go up and we quote some scripture and say, Lord, I got faith. No, our life should be a lifestyle of faith. We ought to be primed in faith. Faith, amen, when you start a car up today, amen, they have fuel injection, amen, and when you cut the key on, whether you realize it or not, there's a pump that comes on before the engine even starts, and it pushes the fuel up to the engine and to the carburetor, ready for the fire to ignite it. And what I'm saying is, as Christians, amen, we've already got to be primed in our faith that the miraculous, amen, when it happens, suddenly, amen, and when it takes place, amen, you don't have to be pumping up your faith. You don't have to believe, God, I trust, I believe. No, you ought to be already in the faith zone. You ought to already be primed. You ought to be dripping with faith, amen. Just like with natural gas, amen, you can get around it and you can smell the fumes. They said, don't light a match, even around the fumes, because it's able and possible to cause a combustible explosion. That's just the fumes, not even the full real thing of the gas, but just the vapors. Hear this. Even our faith, when we're primed and when we're believing God and when we're in that faith zone, amen, just the very fumes of faith that's in and around our lives, amen, when the spark happens, it's an immediate explosion. Let me say it like this, getting back to the magnet, amen. It's something about a magnet, amen. You can have a piece of metal that you can make it become magnetized, or let's consider it a piece of metal or a magnet. And when that property is magnetized, you can put paper clips, you can put anything around it, and guess what will happen? It will attract what? Other metal objects. Now, you can have a handful of metal objects, small metal objects that are not magnetized, but strategically have one that is. And guess what? All of the material that you introduce into your hand will bypass all of the metal fragments that are not magnetized and will pursue, think about this, and find and seek out the one that's magnetized. What I'm saying is, guess what? When we are primed and when we are operating continually and in the mode of faith, amen, when the blessings are released, they will seek you out and they will find you. It's no getting ready because you're already ready. There's no, Lord, help me. Lord, no, you ought to be primed, already active, and just waiting for the spark. And when the spark takes place, amen, there is an immediate combustion. And then that's when you will see. And guess what? It's not that God has any favoritisms. It's not that God has partialities. It's not that God likes this person more than that person. But it's simply that this person who is operating in faith magnetism, amen, has put themselves in a place to receive the miraculous of God. And when the blessings come in, amen, it's because your heart is already prepped. Your faith is already there. You're walking and trusting in God. And you're believing God for the supernatural. And guess what? Something happens. There is, just as in the natural, a law of attraction, so is in the spiritual. That when we are in line with God in his word, following his principles, following his precepts, following the order that God has established, we immediately line ourselves up. And guess what? Some people say, well, why didn't it happen to me? Well, are you operating? Are you trusting God? Are you outside of God's plan and purpose and timing for your life? So let's get back into scripture here. Now, I want to bring us to chapter 15, verse 1. Now, they just experienced a great move of God. The seas were open and the children of Israel walked through. And we saw how God preserved them. They were so excited. They were so happy. The Bible says here, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Isn't that something? They sung it unto who? It didn't say they sung it to each other, but they sung it unto the Lord. And let me say this even as a footnote. When we worship, amen, we are not here to entertain one another. The first order of our worship is vertical. Amen. That we may honor and give praise to God. Amen. Now there, as a result, others will be blessed. Others will be encouraged. Others will be ministered to. But when we worship, we are first honoring God. And he, and even the angels, the Bible says, observe us in our worship. Now think about that. Even the angels observe us in our worship. They're watching and beholding and they're seeing. And guess what? We're going to get there in a second. Let me stop. And he says, listen. And he says, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown unto the sea. He says in verse 2, the Lord is my strength. They're saying, listen, we couldn't do this in our own might. We couldn't defeat Pharaoh in our own ability. These were crack soldiers. These were charioteers. These were some of Pharaoh's best military people that he sent after them. This was the A-team of the Pharaoh's club. Amen. And he sent out the crackest of the A-team troops after the children of Israel. So he's saying, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. Listen to that. He personalized. And sometimes we got to say, he's my God. I have a relationship with him. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's everything to me. Yes, I can boast, not in myself, but I can boast in the Lord. He is my God. He is my strength. He is my source. He is my salvation. He is my pavilion. Well, what make you say that? Well, you don't understand. I didn't see how God has stepped in time after time, how God has banished my enemy, how God has set me up and put me up and hid me from the hand of my enemy. I can declare that he is my God because he fights on my behalf, because he stands with me, because he calls me his son and he calls you his daughter. Then I can dare and I can clearly say he is my God. And listen to this. And I will prepare him a habitation. Now think about this. When you read that real quick, amen, if you study that, he's saying really that saying that we're going to honor him, we're going to praise him, we're going to bless him, and we're going to worship him. But it's curious that even the King James says it in that way, because he says, I will prepare him a habitation. You know, when I begin to think about that, when we send up true worship, God gets comfortable in that place. When they send up true praise, God dwells in the praises of his people. When we send up pure worship and we send up glory, God, the Spirit of God will hover over that because he's attracted to it. It's like an incense of aroma. It's a glory. It's a presence, hallelujah, that stays in the house because we're sending up worship. And guess what? God will dwell there. That's why we have to stay in a mode of worship. Stay in a mode of faith. Because that's where God dwells. Huh, I hear you. So when you are under attack, when your mind is going through, and we all go through, we got to remember this. You know what? I've got to change. That's what they say. Change the atmosphere. Well, how do you change the atmosphere? First of all, let's deal with the atmosphere. What is the atmosphere? Amen. The atmosphere is an unseen, amen, realm. There is an unseen realm even right now where we are in this room. Amen. And there are spirits, there are principalities, and there are powers, there are forces, amen, that are active and alive and walking all up and down East Colonial, and they're all around Orlando and all parts of Florida, and they dwell in heavenly places and they dwell in earthly places. But we as children of God, we have something inside of us, which is the Spirit of God. We have something inside of us, which is the Word of God. And we can walk into a storefront. We can walk into a cathedral. We can walk into a supermarket and we can change the atmosphere. First of all, because we're already primed by faith, because we're walking worshipers. And when we even show up, the Spirit of worship is already on us. But sometimes you just gotta open your mouth and you just gotta begin to bless God and you just gotta begin to worship God. And guess what? Whatever ain't right in the atmosphere, there will be a reorganization, there will be a shifting, there will be a repositioning in the atmosphere. Because where God is, the devil can't be. When God is there, I'm talking the real presence of God. Amen. I'm not talking form and fashion. I'm not talking about spirit of religion. I'm not talking about just, you know, you can do everything right, amen. And amen, we could clap on time. We could preach good. But if the spirit isn't there, the devil will sit in a seat and say, amen. The devil will say, preach. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. But when the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in the house, the devil gets quiet. When the anointing of the Holy Ghost is really in the midst, the devil gets nervous. And as long as we continue to worship God, and I often say one or two things always happens, amen? Demons that are on assignment, they will either, amen, that person will get converted, will repent, or that spirit will go. Amen. It's just a matter of time, amen. Where there is the presence of God, amen, that spirit knows it's on a short timetable. And either way, it's got to go, whether it's through being cast out or whether it takes with that person, they go. But either way, it knows it can't stay where there are true worshipers. We can pack a place out, and that's great. But I'd rather have a handful of truly anointed, spirit-filled saints of God who knows what it means to worship and to live for God. You will have more power in that group of people than in a stadium of people who just coming for the stuff. That's another message. Amen. Amen. We can get you here with the stuff. but I'd rather the Spirit of God draw you. Because if the Spirit draws you, if the Word draws you, then you're not going to be so quick to go. But if I got a hook and jook and trick and gimmick and bait, amen. Don't get me wrong, it's nothing with blessing, amen. But I'm talking, you know what I'm talking, extreme. We got a 32-inch TV, amen, and we got seven of them. If you cannot listen, I'm not knocking it, but I'm just saying let the Word draw you. Let the Word do the work. Because when the Word does the work, it's lasting. When you do all that stuff, you got to keep doing it, amen. People say, we want our chicken dinner. Where our chicken dinner at? We came last Sunday, y'all had chicken dinner. Y'all ain't got chicken dinner? All right, we'll catch y'all later. Amen. You got to keep them at a chicken dinner mentality. And I love chicken dinner. It's okay to do. Amen. But what I'm saying is, amen, if you do that, amen, you got to give them the Word. Don't let them get comfortable on chicken dinners. Start putting in a little bit of the Word. Yeah, amen. You may draw them, amen. Good works are great, but let's give them the Word. Amen. That was often even when Jesus, when he fed the people and they came and they said, Lord, show us another miracle. And Jesus said, you only coming after me because of the fishes and the loaves. Jesus, I see right through you. You didn't come really because you knew that you could get a happy meal to go. That's why, you know, and at the end of the story, guess what? Many of those folks that was with Christ, they left. They couldn't understand. He started transitioning on them. He started giving them the Word. He started breaking it down. And he said many of them had to depart, for his teaching was too hard for them to understand. It wasn't too hard, but it's where their hearts were. It's what was in them. Amen. So it says here, listen, verse 3, and he says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. He is the Lord of hosts. And it says here, verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them up, covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed the piece in pieces the enemy. The right hand of God signifies God's authority, God's power, God's greatness. Everything, amen, is just, it's a metaphorical way of speaking that God's strength, amen, is demonstrated. The scripture often says through his right hand, amen. And it says here, listen, verse 7, and in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee, thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consume them as stubble. Let me say this. Don't worry about your Pharaoh, whoever or whatever it is. Don't worry about the plan or the strategy or the tactic of the evil one that you feel may be pursuing you now, because they have an agenda, but their agendas are going to be broken. Amen. It says, listen to this. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. With one blast. In other words, it's saying, God, you're mighty, but God, you didn't even have to do a whole lot. Just one blast of your nostril. God, you didn't even fully demonstrate your full power. And yet, Father, you caused the seas to stand up and congeal and stand upon end. And the Bible says, even that when the children of Israel went through, they walked on dry ground. One blast of your nostril, oh God, defeated the enemy. And God is saying to us that one blast of his nostril, amen, one lifting of his finger, one lifting of his right hand, amen, will abolish, will get rid of every tactic, every wile, every strategy, every evil plan that the devil may have against you. But just know who you are, man and woman of God. Speak the word of God. Cast out thy rod with thy mouth and declare what God has already said, and stand still and see the salvation of God. If you want to see the hand of God, then trust God. Walk in faith. Be primed by the word. Be primed in faith. And you've got to declare and say to yourself, I shall not be moved, for I'm standing on the rock, which is greater than I, for the rock is Jesus Christ. I shall not be moved, no matter through trial, through tribulation, no matter through this or through that. I shall not be moved, for I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on a strong tower. He is my pavilion. He is my protector. He is my strength. He is my God. He is my fortress. He is my shield. He is my armor bearer. He is everything that I need. He is my wheel in the middle of a wheel. I can call on him no matter where I'm at or no matter what I'm going through. I can call on him when folk have left me. I can call on him when they all around me. I can call on him when I'm sick in my body. I can call on him when I need wisdom, when I need understanding, and when I need direction. I can call on him and he will answer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With one blast of thy nostril, the waters were congealed, were gathered together. The flood stood upright. Can you imagine in your mind the seas standing up? Picture Jell-O just sitting there wobbling. That's what happened. They congealed. They stood up. But yet they didn't fall in. Can you imagine being the children of Israel walking through? What would go through your mind? I'm walking on dry ground. But yet, now think about it, the walls had to be humongously high. They might have even seen a couple fish look out. Sharks might have gone by. But they couldn't cross the boundary that God put in place. That which was natural to them in their natural habitat, even they couldn't go beyond. They had to respect the order in the nostrils of God. What I'm saying is that if God be for you, who or what can be against you? They might want to reach out and grab you. They might want to reach out and stone you. They want to reach out and kill you. But God, He set up a wall of protection around you. And if God set up a fortress, if God has set up a pavilion, if God has given his angels charge over you, to watch over you, to preserve you, to keep you, then even Satan himself is powerless to come against you. If God said you got to do this work, if God called you to this mission, if God called you to this planet for such a time like this, then you can't go anywhere until your time is over. They may say you got cancer. Say, but I hear you, doctor, but I can't go anywhere until my assignment is over. I know what the doctor said, but if God said I've got to preach the word, if God said I've got to feed the hungry, if God said I've got to go to the nursing home, then I can't go. Even with my condition, I've got to keep marching. I've got to keep walking. I've got to keep pursuing. I've got to keep speaking the word. I got to keep walking on dry ground, no matter what's on my left and what's on my right. And I'm going to say, God, though you slay me, yet I'm going to trust you. Even in my inconvenience, even when I'm in my sickness, God, I'm going to speak life. Even when it doesn't feel good in my body, God, I'm going to speak life. Even when my pocket looks like it's empty, I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to declare and decree what God has already said. David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. So God, even though I don't have no loan, even though bank don't like me, even though it don't seem like I'm getting a raise on my job, but I believe God. I know you're going to supernaturally open up the windows of heaven. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know where the answer is. But God, because you said it, and because you decreed it, and because you spoke it on my life, it shall come to pass. And I'm going to walk on this dry ground, even though it seems that the enemy's coming after me. But I'm going to keep marching, because I got to get to the other side. Listen to this. See, your enemy, he's going to keep pursuing you. But don't let that intimidate you. Because you see, even oftentimes that God, amen, he stiffened the heart of Pharaoh. You would have thought the average person said, man, I ain't messing with these folks. And then he did for, but then God hardened his heart. And then he continued. You know what God does, amen. And see, some of us will question, God, are you with me? God, why is this happening? God, I've been, Lord, you don't understand. God is taking you to a finale. God is taking you to a place of showdown. God is taking you to a place where he's going to put you on display. God is taking you to a place of warfare. Hold me up. God is taking you to a place of a spiritual fight. Hallelujah. God said, now I'm going to let your enemy pursue you, and I'm going to let you keep going. But it's going to come a time where I'm going to say, stop. Turn around. And I want you to see what I'm going to do to your enemy. And that's what God did. He allowed the children of Israel to go to the other side. But then it got to the point when they got through to the other side. They saw the hand of God. They saw the walls of the water become crashing down. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men with all the chariots and with all the soldiers. Guess what happened? The Bible said they got drowned in the sea. God said, I want you to see that. I want you to turn around. Those who pursued you, those who lied against you, those who stole from you, those who set up false rumors against you, those who talked, I want you to turn around and I want you to see what your God will do on your behalf. I want you to turn around and I want you to see what the mighty hand of God will do for his children. And that's why the writer could say, my God, my God, my God, because he's been too good. I've got to say what my God has done. He fought on my behalf. He stood with me in my distress. I called on him and he heard me. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the enemy, As I said in verse 9, he's a slow learner. But the enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide. I will draw my... Don't you hear the mouth of Satan through Pharaoh and his men? It was the devil that had the same language. I will, and I will. See, that's a dead giveaway when you know that somebody's not operating in God. They're operating through flesh, motivated by Satan. Because it's always, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's nothing but your flesh, the devil, and you. So the devil said, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. See, he knew what he wanted. I will overtake. I will divide. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and hand shall destroy them. But I don't care what the devil said. If God is on the side of the righteous, and if God said, greater is he that's in me than this devil or this person or that circumstance, if the greater one is inside of you, I don't care what trash they talk. I don't care what speech comes out of their mouth. I don't care what they look like, but you and I have got to stand and trust and depend upon God and know that if God is greater in me, then you've got to say, come on, devil. There's something greater in me, hallelujah, than myself. See, you're looking at little old me, but you don't understand I got backup. You don't understand who's inside of me. You don't understand I'm carrying a big stick in the spirit. I'm not having a literal stick, but you don't understand that big stick is the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of me. And I've been sealed. I've been blessed. I've been covered in the blood. I've been washed. And I'm walking with my God. And if you're crazy enough to come after me, then I'm going to watch the sea come down on your head. So come on, devil. I'm not afraid of what you may say. I'm not afraid of what you may do. I'm not afraid of what you may try to intimidate me, but I'm going to trust God. Going down to verse 11, and that's when the writer says, who is like unto the Lord? After he destroyed and covered them in the sea, he said, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Lord, you're mighty. You're strong. There are no words to declare and describe your power and your glory and your might and your awesomeness. Who is like unto thee? None is like unto thee. No demon, no principality, no power, no man. There's no one like unto thee, Lord. Among the gods, who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Primed in faith. If you're not primed, get primed and stay primed. Be always at the ready. Because as we've learned, suddenly takes place. Shift happens. And if you're sleeping, if you're lackadaisical, if you're not alert, the Bible says be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because the devil, he's looking to take advantage. After a roaring lion, he's looking to take advantage. He's running through the earth, seeking and looking. And guess what? He's looking for even saints that are asleep. But here's even the grace and the blessing of God. Even in that state, you're covered. even in that state. Because even when we do fall short, there's this beautiful thing called grace. We don't frustrate the grace of God. We don't take advantage of the grace of God. We don't abuse the grace of God. But if I should stumble, if I should fall, if I should get a little discouraged, grace and mercy has a way of coming alongside of me and gently shifting me. Wake up, man of God. Wake up, woman of God. It's not over. It's still time. The grace of God is there for you, everyone standing. Who is like unto thee, O Lord?